Lynn Robbins is in the studio with me tonight. Cincinnati has a wealth of exceptional and gifted poets, and she's certainly one of them. Tonight, we're going to talk about her latest book of poetry. It is titled, When You Sit to Write, Poems of Support and Inspiration for Writers. And I would add, for those of us who read them. Lynn, it's delightful to welcome you to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you, Barbara.
In the preface to your book, you write, interestingly enough, that you were in your 40s before you fell in love with poetry. So what brought that change about?
It happened in an absolute flash. At that time, I was nearly agoraphobic. I was working and carrying on, but groups and public situations were terribly difficult for me, and I avoided them at all costs. But I heard about this poetry reading at a bookstore, open reading, and pushed myself to go just to be in a space with people. That was the practice. The poetry was not of interest to me, and never had been. I wasn't a reader of poetry, didn't care anything about it, but went to this reading, and it was local women reading their work, and it was just fabulous. It was poems I could relate to and was inspired by and understood for a change. And it just lit that poetry fire in me. And I went home that night and started writing poetry. And it just poured out of me. Prior to that, I had been a consistent journaler and maybe a poem a year. But all of a sudden, it was just poem after poem. And it was like a new life and a new person. And it drove me to be out more and get over my fear of the world, which I haven't completely. I'm out here now anyway.
Yes, and I'm so glad that you are. So if you would, read the title poem for us.
When you sit to write, don't forget to bring forgiveness and perch it on your desk to the left. Then let patience perch there on the right, close but out of the accidental reach of your elbow. Make room on the shelf for the trophies you've earned. A large gold cup for the poem that healed your disabling ache. Another for the story that gave you back your feet. Keep a thick and thirsty bath towel on hand, for rivers might run from eyes to cheek to chin to neck with every dam you dynamite, every line you drag from a vein and stick down wet on the paper. And don't risk writing barefoot. Wear steel-toed boots, for you never know how heavy little words might become. I've seen mere scraps of paper turn heavy as a boulder in three small verses. I've not yet advised about fires, famine, or floods of joy, but you get the picture. Be careful and kind to yourself. After all, you're only human, a writer daring to pitch your soul naked on the page.
One of the things I love about your book is that you include some brief but sage advice from established writers. And along with giving ourselves compassion, you include a quote from Natalie Goldberg. So you want to tell us about that? What does she encourage us to do?
I'll read that quote. I think it's interesting. She says, "It was important to give myself permission to fail. It is the only way to write. We can't live up to anyone's high standards, including our own. There is no failure, just a big field to wander in." I like how she turns that around, because she starts out saying, to give yourself permission to fail. And then at the end, she turns it around and there is no failure. But I think that's sort of the game. You do need that permission to get the pen to the paper. And if you're going in with failure in your head, it's just not going to work.
And she gives you the antidote. She doesn't just tell you what not to do.
Yes.
But offers you this, a big field
to wander in. A big field to wander in. That's right. And even if what you write is awful, you know, so what? Maybe you can fix it later, maybe you can't. But you've written, and that's the point, and that's the job to be done.
And you have a poem that speaks to this, which is the hardest part. Read us the hardest part, please.
The hardest part. The first line is always the hardest. Born as it is from next to nothing. Born feet first and blue-bodied. Needing a breathy kiss and a tap, a slap, to make it breathe and come alive. Although the middle, those awkward middle lines, the prepubescent ones, half-crazed teenaged ones, and change your midlife crisis ones are not easy either, often wandering down dead-end roads in the dark. But with strength and senses waning, needing help now to get through each line, with time running out on the page, and my own usefulness expired once done, The hardest part must be this, the last verse. And not just the verse itself, but stopping, saying goodbye to all you've known, saying a firm goodnight to the poem when it keeps kicking off the covers, switching on the light, jumping up and begging for more, 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 more.
You include a quote from another well-known writer, Anne Lamott, and she talks about that creative voice inside us. What does she have to say?
She says, and I'll quote her here, "I think you do it right as a debt of honor. If you've got that creative voice inside of you that has something to communicate, it just longs to tell its version of things or to entertain or to inspire or to try to be part of the solution or just to be heard, to stop being a person who is silenced, then I think you have to honor that or you're just doomed."
She has a great quote. It's, "Perfectionism is the voice of the oppressor." Mm. And I thought that fit so well with Natalie Goldberg's,
yes,
not letting the critic in your head, so to speak, silence you.
Yes, it does. And also, I think the message is really important for women, because in so many ways, we are silenced. And not always silent per se, but not given a voice. That's especially true, I think, in the publishing world, where the male voice is dominant, both in the people that select books to be published, as well as the books on the shelf. I was reading an article in the Guardian, a British paper, about a study being done about how literary prizes are awarded primarily to men. And not only with men as the authors, but with men and boys as the subject matter.
Interesting.
Which is very interesting.
You have a poem about what got you here, so to speak, and it's called "Who Knew?"
Who knew? I wanted to be a doctor, a surgeon. Wanted to be the first somewhere, to name an unnamed mountain and map the unmapped. Or an artist, to see with Rembrandt's eyes every ceiling Sistine, my brush filled with light, or to sculpt with Rodin's hands, chisel guided by God. I didn't ever want to be a poet, to spend my days debating this word or that. Didn't plan on worrying about iambs, enjambment, or breaking lines, let alone how to pay the rent, a poet's pay coming in copies. But how better, without a license, to practice medicine than to take a scalpel to sickly phrases? How else but on the page could I be the first person everywhere, naming everything, mapping untrod ground? I can even paint without brushes and sculpt in word clay till lines lie soft and warm in my hands. And despite my stack of unpaid bills, I couldn't be happier, for poet is everything, everything I wanted to be, and more than ever dreamed possible."
And who knew you'd be sitting here sharing your wonderful gift of poetry with us all? I want to thank you so much for being with us tonight, Lynn.
Thank you, Barbara.
Delightful to be with you. I've been talking with Lynn Robbins about her latest book of poetry. It is titled "When You Sit to Write: Poems of Support and Inspiration for Writers." You'll find more information about it at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.
I've looked at life from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow it's life's illusion.